Have you ever stood in a room full of accomplished people and thought, I don't belong here? You're not alone. An astonishing 70% of people experience imposter syndrome, that persistent feeling that you've somehow fooled everyone into thinking you're competent when you secretly fear you're not. Even Michelle Obama confessed, I still have imposter syndrome. It never goes away. This psychological pattern keeps high achievers trapped in a cycle of self-doubt despite clear evidence of their competence. The signs are unmistakable, attributing success to luck, discounting praise, fearing failure, struggling with perfectionism, and responding through either overwork or self-sabotage. The professional impact is devastating: reduced advancement, lower salaries, and diminished career potential. Imagine spending decades building expertise only to have your inner critic convince you that you're still not qualified enough to ask for that promotion or raise. Imposter syndrome doesn't appear from nowhere. It grows from seeds planted in childhood. Consider Ashton, a nonprofit leader who was positioned as the great hope in a chaotic family. Her worth was measured solely through academic achievement, with her parents applying constant pressure for perfect grades. This created a fragile professional identity where her value was tied exclusively to external validation. What's your imposter syndrome origin story? Perhaps you were the smart one, never allowed to fail, or maybe you were compared unfavorably to siblings. Some families create impossible standards where only perfection is acceptable, while others dismiss achievements as expected rather than praiseworthy. Cultural factors can amplify these dynamics, particularly for those from marginalized communities. When exploring your own history, look for moments when you first began doubting your abilities despite evidence of success. Was there a parent who withheld praise? A teacher who dismissed your achievements? Understanding these formative experiences helps establish the crucial connection between your past and your current imposter feelings. Imposter syndrome doesn't plague us constantly. It has specific triggers that activate feelings of fraudulence. New situations, like promotions or leadership roles, often spark doubt about your abilities. Even compliments can trigger imposter feelings, as you dismiss praise, believing others are just being nice. Consider Cal, a marketing VP who struggled to speak up in meetings despite being the youngest senior VP at his previous firm and securing multi-million-dollar accounts. His imposter syndrome was triggered by the increased visibility of his new position, causing him to doubt abilities he had clearly demonstrated throughout his career. These triggers aren't random. They typically result from earlier life experiences where you felt inadequate. What makes triggers particularly dangerous is how they activate automatic negative thoughts, ANTs, intrusive thoughts that undermine self-confidence. These include mind reading, assuming what others think about you, fortune telling, predicting negative outcomes without evidence, and catastrophizing, imagining worst-case scenarios. The key to managing triggers is first identifying them, then developing awareness of the thoughts they activate, allowing you to respond differently rather than falling into familiar patterns. The stories we tell ourselves have tremendous power to either keep self-doubt central to our identity or free us from it. People with imposter syndrome typically maintain self-limiting narratives that distort their achievements. Like Jocelyn, who attributed her job success solely to luck and pleasantness while ignoring her academic excellence, you may have developed narratives that discount your capabilities. These narratives often begin as thin descriptions, simplistic, limiting beliefs that lack context. If you were labeled the hard worker while a sibling was the smart one, you might have internalized the belief that you lack natural intelligence and can only succeed through excessive effort. Changing your narrative requires thickening these stories, transforming simplistic beliefs into more nuanced understandings. Instead of, my sister is the smart one, I just work hard, a thickened narrative might be, we're both intelligent but learn differently. My persistence is actually a form of intelligence that serves me well. This process creates space for self-acceptance by acknowledging multiple perspectives and possibilities. One of the most powerful steps in overcoming imposter syndrome is breaking the silence that surrounds it. Many suffer in isolation, believing they're alone in their struggles. When Jocelyn finally disclosed her feelings to colleagues, she discovered many shared similar experiences, immediately weakening her sense of isolation. This shared vulnerability created deeper connections and provided allies in her journey towards self-acceptance. Equally important is acknowledging your achievements rather than attributing success to external factors like luck. People with imposter syndrome often set impossibly high bars for accomplishment, dismissing successes as just doing their job. Redefining accomplishments as anything you can be proud of helps recognize previously overlooked efforts. This recognition extends to identifying your strengths, both natural talents and developed skills. Howard Gardner's theory of multiple intelligences offers a helpful framework, recognizing 9 types of intelligence beyond traditional measures, highlighting strengths that might otherwise go unnoticed. Imposter syndrome drives overworking to the point of exhaustion. People with imposter syndrome tend to work themselves to burnout, believing they must prove their worth through excessive effort. This pattern creates a dangerous cycle. The more you work to prove yourself, the more you reinforce the belief that you're not naturally talented. Breaking this cycle requires valuing self-care as essential rather than optional. Consider Dennis, an assistant professor experiencing burnout from his imposter syndrome. Despite working longer hours than colleagues, he felt constantly fatigued. Initially, he resisted self-care, believing it would waste time needed for securing tenure, but eventually committed to regular gym visits and monthly massages as part of his recovery plan. Perfectionism presents a major barrier to self-care. The belief that anything less than perfect is failure creates impossible standards that perpetuate burnout. Effective self-care begins with micro-habits, small, easily achievable actions rather than overwhelming goals. For example, begin with packing gym clothes before committing to 5 weekly workouts. Mindfulness offers another powerful self-care technique, providing an antidote to the hectic routines that feed imposter syndrome. Recovery from imposter syndrome doesn't mean triggers disappear forever. As Michelle Obama noted, "I still have imposter syndrome. It never goes away." The goal isn't elimination, but managing imposter feelings so they no longer dominate your life. This requires expanding beyond rigid roles that feel safe but limit growth. Consider trying 180-degree shifts from imposter patterns: the help seeker, asking for assistance; the risk taker, attempting projects without guaranteed success; or the visible leader, taking more public positions. Building a support network, your dream team, provides guidance when self-doubt emerges. This team might include mentors who share their struggles, cheerleaders who offer unconditional support, grounders who provide reality checks, and action planners who help create response strategies. With these resources, you can create a personalized action plan, a toolbox of coping cards capturing key strategies. Though challenges will appear, your tools and support network provide the foundation for maintaining confidence when doubts arise. This journey marks the beginning of a life where you can truly own your greatness and live unencumbered by feeling like a fraud.